Hi, I'm Jim Bikyai. Welcome to my podcast, Be You, The World Will Adjust. Well, I'm back in Toronto with my family. My wife and the younger three kids and I drove back and arrived on Saturday. I must say I'm quite pleased to be back. There was just something reassuring about crossing the border. And I must say, and you know, for those of you who go back and forth across the border, I must say I've never been treated more nicely than I was on Saturday. So thank you to the border agent for making us feel welcome and coming home. But I must say, coming home, I'm stunned at how many people are out driving on the highways in and around Toronto. I was actually stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic on the 401. What's going on? I mean, I'd been reading all these reports about how Toronto was shut down and so on and so on, and just sure didn't seem like it today. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe people are just tired of being stuck, but people are out and about all over the city and the roads. As my wife Jennifer said, we saw more cars on the road from the border to Toronto than the entire ride from Florida. We're in the second day of our 14-day quarantine, and it was really interesting, you know, having been in Florida and staying in our town and just sort of seeing the activity there, and then you look at things on television, you get a sort of an appreciation, you think you get an appreciation for what's going on and the widespread destruction and economic disaster that this virus is causing. But you really don't. The ride from Florida was quite illuminating for me, and I think also for my kids. I think when you're in one city or a town, your perspective is limited to your immediate area. On this trip, I was able to witness the economic destruction that has been created from Florida to Buffalo, and I must tell you, it was incredible. Shopping centers, movie theaters, hotels, motels, parking lots, completely empty. State after state, city after city, town after town, car dealers with hundreds, if not thousands, of cars on their lots with zero buyers. The only vehicles on the road, other than a smattering of cars, were UPS trucks, FedEx, Publix, Walmart. Caution being taken by fast food restaurants. Signs on the highways talking about coronavirus, saying stay home, stay safe. When we walked into the hotel we stayed in Pittsburgh, the sign on the door said you can't enter the hotel without gloves and without a mask. You know, we were in Florida for 6 weeks and we thought we were prepared for it, but truly we really weren't prepared for what we were witnessing. Regardless of all the news and all the newspapers that we had read, you actually don't see it. You just can't believe it. It's like a complete blackout, except for this time, all the lights are on, but the economy is blacked out. Granted, some of the economy is taking shape at home and occurring from home, but I was left with this nagging question that I hadn't really appreciated before, and I guess we all are asking ourselves this question. How long will this take? And what will it look like in the end? My number one observation out of this is there's no way that the governments are not going to be able to get away with ponying up more money, getting more money into people's hands. Not once, maybe two, maybe three more times. The devastation is so far and the domino effect is so great that the government is the only solution to helping people survive. They'll have to find ways to get more dollars into the people's hands to first and foremost to house and feed themselves. For those that are or have run out of money. Secondly, it's going to be quite a while before people feel secure in their basic needs before they even remotely consider discretionary spending. The world will never be the same. We've talked about it before. We're in an unprecedented time to throw out every book from the past and open your mind to not only survive going forward, but to adapt and thrive. You can't be open-minded enough. The ripple effect will not only be profound, but widest reaching ever. Nothing we have ever done before will prepare us for what we will have to be part of in this recovery and growth. The other thing that I found really, really shocking, and you know, you see smatterings of it on TV, is the amount of people who had not made any adjustments to their lives. They were living as if they did before, either not believing the news, saw it more as hype, or just don't believe anything's going to happen to them. No gloves, no masks, just walking around the city as if it was 6 weeks ago. No 6-foot barrier, nothing at all. It was really strange, you know, because we hadn't been subject to that down in Florida in our own little sort of bubble. Everybody we saw had a mask, and everybody we saw had gloves. And everybody we saw, in fact, when we would go out for a walk, we would see people coming down the street. They would turn down another street. Driving through America, gas stations, different type of places that we had to stop. No thought of it. No thought of it whatsoever. So how do we think? How do we go about getting ourselves out of here? Especially given the prospect of things reopening slowly. How do we walk gingerly? How do we have the confidence to go forward in an unsure, unsecure world, not really knowing what is true and what's not true? How do we chart out a new path for ourselves? How do we begin, as I said before, creating new routines? And it's going to have to be small steps. There's no questions about it. Corporations are furiously thinking about what is the next, not 6 months, not 1 year, what does the next 2 to 3 years look like? How do we actually recover ourselves so that we can create a gainful employment for the people that work with us? Because, you know, I mean, I just saw the American Express numbers. Their revenues are down 75%, and they're cutting $3 billion from their budget and their expense budget. And, you know, if that's one company, I don't know any single company that is not affected by this, maybe except for Amazon and a few companies like that that are reaping the benefits of this sort of disaster. And more power to them, and they built the company, and that's great. And to tell you the truth, thank God that they're there, and the takeout delivery services and so on and so on. But it's going to be unprecedented, and it's going to really require a time when we can't just rely on our company, or we can't rely on our governments to help us think for ourselves. Our routines are gone, so we're going to have to figure that out. We're going to have to figure out how do we add value. We're going to have to figure out what can we do on a daily basis to help our company, our coworkers, ourselves at the end of the day to remain employed and create business, generate revenues, and do it in an efficient manner. It's not going to be easy. We're inexperienced and unprepared to do so. So what continues to fascinate me through this whole process is actually trying to figure out the ripple effect, the dominoes that I talk about in the beginning. How far and wide does it actually get? And every day I read a different story. Every day I see something different, be a little different, seeing something different in our condo in Toronto. But, you know, one of the observations my daughter made was we live right downtown and it's noisy. And it's not noisy now. Dead quiet. And it was quiet all day yesterday when we got home. And you look out on the streets, and the streets are actually empty. I'm looking straight down Bloor Street right now, and tell you the truth, I can't even see a car. There's no hustle, there's no bustle, there's no activity going on this Sunday morning as I'm creating this podcast with my producer, Katie. So how far will it go? How far down to individual people? We know there's going to be job loss. We've already seen that of numbers like we probably haven't seen since the Great Depression. But is it going to get even worse? Are people not going to be able to pay their rents? Are people and the corporations that own the buildings, are they going to be able to pay? What's going to happen to the ability to pay taxes? If you're not making any money and you're losing money, government coffers are going to suffer as well. The deficits are going to continue to increase, and this prolonged period of economic downturn could go on for a year or two. It will find stability. It'll find its natural leveling point at some point. But like 2008, like a number of other periods in time, there is carnage. There is a cost to it, human, companies, all kinds of things. And the strong will emerge, the creative will emerge, and the resourceful will emerge. And so the challenge that we all face, corporation, governments, individuals, is to be that group that emerges. And as I was talking to one of my clients the other day, and I said to them, you can't think boldly enough. You can't think broadly enough. You can't push yourself to things that you thought were never, ever, ever possible, to now that they're not only possible, but they could potentially actually be probable. And that's the challenge for us all, as this devastation, and it will continue. And every day we'll learn something new that we didn't know before, like I did, driving from Florida to Toronto. I thought it was just going to be a drive. I've taken the drive a whole bunch of times. For anybody that's taken it, it's pretty unexciting. But it was not unexciting. It's actually one of the most depressing things that I ever seen in my entire life. And the only thing that I could think about throughout this whole thing is all of these poor people. How are they going to get restarted? And how, I need to tell people, it's their responsibility to figure it out. It's their responsibility to come out with a new way. The governments will provide money. They have to. They can't let the patient die. They have to provide it. It'll be expensive. It'll take a long time to recover. And who knows what it'll look like at the end. But they will do it, and they have to do it. And we're already seeing that. The U.S. is already on their third package, and they're probably going to get to their fourth. The Canadian government has already made adjustments to the first two packages. People say, oh, they didn't do enough. They didn't know. They didn't know. And every day they're learning how much more they have to do. Every day they're learning what I learned on that trip from Florida to Toronto is actually how widespread the destruction and devastation is. Not to learn it from the numbers, but to see it, to actually see parking lot after parking lot after parking lot empty. Remarkable. Probably something I hopefully will never see again in my entire lifetime, but definitely one of the most moving experiences that I've ever seen. And what was missing in the picture is behind the scenes is a human tragedy that goes along with that. So I know I'm probably fully depressed to everybody, and that's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is give people a realistic understanding of what things look like from my perspective and how to help people think about what they need to do. Don't think about this thing just being around the corner. Everything will be fine in a short period of time. We need to keep our heads down. We need to be diligent, and we need to be creative. We need to think about ourselves in ways that we've never thought about ourselves before, and how we can help ourselves, things that we can do, how to survive, how to thrive, how to grow, and how to best prepare yourself for the new normal, whatever the new normal may be, or it may never be normal again. It just may be the new world order. So my ask of you this week is open your minds. think about yourselves. Think about how you can do things differently, better, on a more broad-based mental approach. Be safe, be well. I'm Jim Bakiai. My podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.